DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essev. Monsignor Essev is a priest in the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essev encountered Saint Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by St. Pope John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essev. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
I believe we Christians don't realize that it took four centuries, because the cross now dominates as the symbol of Christianity. Like if you're a Protestant or Orthodox or Catholic, it's the cross for Protestants without the body. It's the crucifix for Catholics, because we emphasize the sufferings of Christ. And it's the two-barred cross for the Orthodox. But all of us have a centrality of the cross. We sign ourselves with the cross. Blessings are given in the form of a cross. And so the cross has become so familiar as a symbol of Christianity. But it wasn't so for the first four centuries. And the way you identified a Christian was the fish, ichthus. And when Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. So in those, because they understood more the infamy and the horror of the cross, because Romans were still using crucifixion as a means of capital punishment. And it wasn't until the Middle Ages that we began to get devotion to the stations of the cross. And even the misconceptions that we had of how this took place. We had a movie recently called The Passion, and they were trying to represent what the crucifixion was really like. And so I think, you know, we who are more familiar with capital punishment in the gas chamber, you know, because of the Nazis, we realized the horror of how people were killed in the gas chamber. Or we who have our, some states, the electric chair. And I know here in Pennsylvania, we have an electric chair that where we can give the death penalty. It's so rare today that we strap a person in and throw all this electricity into their body. In a sense, we have even seen this as a kind of a mild way of killing people that country and its laws use. Hanging in the Western country, when the Wild West was open and they wanted to exercise the death penalty for crimes committed in the West, they would hang a man. And we know what that is. And we also know, in some way, beheading, which was kind of in vogue in England and the French Revolution. But crucifixion has been so off our radar. And so we kind of fantasize about it. And maybe we just look at a crucifix. I think it's important to know that Christian modesty puts a loincloth on Jesus. He was naked. He died naked. He hung there. That was part of the abuse that they were going to give to the crucified. The crucified could in no way carry the whole cross. It would have weighed 700 or 800 pounds. Actually, they were asked to carry the crossbeam, which was almost 200 pounds. And for a man like Jesus, who maybe weighed about 170 or whatever pounds, that weight was enormous for him to carry on his shoulders. In fact, spiritual writers who have gotten in touch with the wounds of Jesus say it was the wound in his shoulder that caused him the most pain, because he had to carry the cross, which was the cross bar, from the praetorium of where he was condemned by Pilate up to Calvary, which was, and if you ever have been to Jerusalem, it's uphill and it's outside the city, and he carried it up to Calvary's hill. And it was so after he had been scourged. And again, we didn't even know what that was. We were in touch with the Jewish scourge, but the Roman scourge was made up of sheep bone and lead balls. In fact, a scourge could kill a man, and the scourger who would scourge was from the top of the neck to the balls of the feet. So a scourge man, the sheep bone and the lead balls would dig into his back. Jesus was one bloody mess from the top of his neck to the balls of his feet, his buttocks, his whole back were one mess. I remember the scourging that was in the movie The Passion. Some people could hardly stand it to look at it. He had 40 lashes from the scourge, and it was the Roman scourge and the scourger. Just, it wasn't that he was going to beat Jesus. He was a scourger. That was what he did. And the crowning of thorns, they were mocking him as to his kingship. He had this red robe, and they put it on him and genuflected to him. And in order to honor his kingship, they put a crown of thorns on his head, and the capillaries on his head just... blood came right down into his face. This is what Pilate presented to the Jews in order to satisfy their lust for his death. But they insisted on crucifixion. And so he carried this if you just take your hand, if you drove a nail to the palm of your hand, we think that's where the nails went. It didn't. It went way up on the top where there's a bone. And a crucifier would know that. And so the nail was taken, and the hands were stretched out and driven and nailed into that crossbar. Then that crossbar, because the vertical bar were like sometimes the Romans crucified, the day they crucified Jesus, there were three, but sometimes they crucify 100. And so there were like telephone poles, and they were beveled out. And so the crossbar was put into the vertical bar, and then as the crucified was then with his hands nailed to the cross, then the nails went into the feet. And because the nails were in the part of the hand that would not tear out from the nails, which would happen if it was in the center of the hand, but rather at the top. And so the nails went into the feet, and Jesus did not die by bleeding to death. He died by asphyxiation. If you hang that in that way, the only way you can breathe out, you can breathe in when you're on a cross hanging that way. But in order to exhale, you have to push up on your feet, because your hands the arms become rigid, and you can't exhale. You can take in a breath, but you can't exhale. And Jesus, with the being scourged and crucified, could no longer push up on his feet. And so when he inhaled, he couldn't exhale, and he suffocated to death, and he died. The 3 hours that he was on the cross. Today's feast is a desire on the part of the church. It's not Good Friday. It's called the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. And four four centuries, the church was, well, you might say embarrassed by the sign of their Redeemer naked on a tree and nailed to this cross and crucified. And so in the Roman world of the first three centuries, they just didn't use that symbol. But then they began to realize that it was through the death of Jesus, and that Jesus did not die because the Romans or the Jews condemned him, but rather because he himself laid down his life for our redemption. Jesus triumphed over death. Jesus rose from the dead. From Adam and Eve down to Jesus, every single man that died never was able to rise from the dead. Death was totally in complete control, not with Jesus. He said to Pilate, "You don't take my life away from me. I lay it down. My Father could send me legions to protect me. So I am not here because I am under your authority. I am under the authority of my Father. And my Father asked me to do this." Jesus is under the control and power of God. And Jesus lays down his life on the cross for our salvation. And our salvation first is to be redeemed from death. And on Easter, Jesus died on the cross and conquers death. He rises from the dead. He is the first one who rose from the dead. And because of Jesus, and it took centuries for us to absorb this mystery, the mystery of the cross. The cross is a huge mystery. And then we all have been baptized into Jesus Christ. And the baptism is into his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. And from Jesus until now, we have no fear of death. Death does not rule over me or you or anyone who has been baptized. And so to those of us who have received baptism, you know, Protestants go around, "Are you saved? Are you redeemed?" Oh my God, are we? How? By our baptism. It was in baptism that we suffered and died with Christ and rose again in our baptism. When I die, my same ceremony that was used for my baptism is going to be used for my funeral. That magnificent funeral of John Paul II, in which almost two-thirds of the world, 4 billion people, watched his burial. John Paul was redeemed at his baptism in Poland. There he suffered, died, and rose. As he became Pope, just like every other ordinary Christian, they did the exact ceremony in his death and burial that they did for every death and burial of every Christian, of every Catholic. There, the body is brought to the church and sprinkled with holy water to remind of baptism. It was in baptism that that person died with Christ, and it was in baptism that that person rose from the dead. And today, in the exaltation of the Holy Cross, it's because of the suffering and death of Jesus on the cross that I have been redeemed. And I am entering into his suffering, death, and resurrection through my baptism.
We'll return to Building the Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Issa in just a moment.
Did you know that Discerning Hearts has a free app where you can find all your favorite Discerning Hearts programming? Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Monsignor John Essev, Deacon James Keating, Father Donald Haggerty, Mike Aquilina, Dr. Matthew Bunsen, and so many more. They're all available on the free Discerning Hearts app. Over 3,000 spiritual formation programs and prayers, all available to you with no hidden fees or subscriptions. Did you also know that you can listen to Discerning Hearts programming wherever you download your favorite podcasts, like Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify, even on Audible, as well as numerous other worldwide podcast streaming platforms? And did you know that Discerning Hearts also has a YouTube channel? Be sure to check out all these different places where you can find Discerning Hearts Catholic Podcasts, dedicated to those on the spiritual journey.
Show your support for Discerning Hearts by liking and leaving positive reviews on your favorite streaming platforms, such as Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and more. With a collection of insightful podcasts led by renowned Catholic spiritual guides, such as Father Timothy Gallagher, Monsignor John Essef, Dr. Anthony Lillis, and more, Discerning Hearts is your gateway to a deeper understanding of discerning life's mysteries and growing deeper in your relationship with Christ. Your likes and reviews not only affirm the value these podcasts bring to your spiritual journey, but also help others discover the guidance and inspiration they seek. Share your thoughts, spread the word, and be part of a community that's committed to elevating hearts and minds through meaningful conversations. Your feedback fuels our mission to help others climb higher and go deeper in their spiritual growth. Like, review, and let your voice be a beacon of light for fellow seekers on this spiritual journey.
We now return to Building the Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Essex.
When I was baptized, I was joined with him. It was on the cross that water came forth from the side of Christ, the sign of my baptism. Blood came forth from the side of Christ, the sign of the Eucharist. I and you are joined to Jesus Christ this day, this magnificent day, by our baptism. I am going to live forever. I am immortal. In his death is my salvation. In his death is our life. We have conquered death. And so Paul says, O death, where is your sting? No longer do you have power over me or over anyone else who has joined with Christ in his suffering, death, and resurrection. So what a magnificent feast day this is today, the Feast of the Holy Cross. In the first reading of today's celebration, it's taken from the book of Numbers. In the desert, the people were dying because they had railed against Moses and God. Why have you brought us here, they said, up from Egypt to die in this desert where there is no water? We do not want to be here where there is no food. We are disgusted with this wretched food. And so in punishment, the Lord sent among them seraph serpents, which bit the people, and that many of them died. Then the people came to Moses, and this is in the book of Numbers, and said, We have sinned against God by our complaining. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, Make a seraph and mount it on a pole. And if anyone who has been bitten looks at it, he will recover. Moses accordingly made a bronze seraph, mounted it on a pole, and whoever who had been bitten by a seraph looked at the bronze serpent, he recovered. And so that symbol was a sign in the Old Testament of when that symbol was raised up, of that ignominy of a serpent on a pole, that if they looked at it, they were healed of the serpent's bite. Now death, which has conquered all of humankind, is raised up. And that's what Jesus said. If I be raised up, I will draw all to myself. What is the raising up that he was talking about? He was talking about his suffering and his death in Jerusalem. He did that in the year 33. He conquered sin and Satan and death on the cross. And so today we celebrate the exaltation of the Holy Cross, because it was by that cross that you and I have been saved. It was through his suffering and death and resurrection that we, who are joined to him by baptism, have been saved. Isn't that a tremendous teaching today that the church gives us? It's a new way of looking at the cross. And when you have your cross, you know, what is that? First of all, the uniqueness and the power of the cross. You know, I still believe that if you really see it for what it is ugly. It's a horrible looking Jesus tortured and suffering and dying. And now today, it is turned into a symbol of triumph. Just like that symbol of the Old Testament with Moses, this symbol now is so powerful. And when you wear it, and when you make it over yourself, make it with such reverence, because it is the sign of my redemption, my salvation, my union with Jesus Christ through the cross, through baptism. The uniqueness of I enter into his passion, I enter into his death, and therefore I personally enter into his resurrection. See that broken foot of yours, that concern you have about on a daily basis, the suffering, the dying, everything that you go through in pain or anguish, you can join with him because he is in you. You are in him, and in today's 21st century, the most horrible sufferings can be translated personally through you and in you into redemption. What is the worst thing that can happen to you? You're going to die. Mm. And that no longer has any sting. You know, if you have cancer, and what is the ultimate cure for anything that goes in your any tragedy, the worst thing is that you could die. And now death no longer has any power over me. And so in the Old Testament, you know, there was a magnificent play that was written some years ago called Jesus Christ Superstar. Mm-hmm. And they didn't show the resurrection. He suffered, but they never brought home the resurrection. And how that's the whole message, really. There are plenty of people who suffered as much as Jesus. The thieves who died on the cross with Jesus they went through the crucifixion. But Jesus overcame death for himself. And because he has joined us to himself through baptism, he has brought us, every one of us, into redemption and eternal life.
It really can change how we even mark ourselves when we pray. I mean, that sign of the cross that we make on ourselves. You know how hesitant people are, even in a restaurant, yeah. do that before they say grace before meals, if they have the courage in that crowded restaurant to say grace.
Or if they realized its significance and symbol.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even you as a mother, when you bless your child if it's sick, or you as a father, if you bless your loved ones before they go out and go to work, or coming back from school, or over your meals in your own home, that blessing by the cross is powerful in itself, the sign of the cross. When I make the sign of the cross, devils tremble, and it is a power over Satan. The cross, the reminder of who he is and the destruction he brought to the kingdom of Satan. And that serpent that no longer could harm the Jews when they looked at the bronze serpent when it was lifted up is infinitely more powerful, the cross, to heal, to bless, and to deliver the Christ and the world. So when you have a cross, I would recommend strongly that you have a crucifix in your home, in every room. Mm-hmm. So as you lay in bed, you can see the cross from where you lie, that you can see the cross when you wake up in the morning. You can see the cross and have symbols of it frequently in your life. It is a magnificent and glorious cross, the cross of Jesus Christ.
Lift it up high.
Yes. Lift high the cross. You know, that magnificent, lift it up. It's a symbol, and it's a sign of our triumph and our life.
Thank you so much, Monsignor.
God bless you.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essiff. To hear and or to download this episode, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essiff.